back to the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. So come on the program this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. Former State Senator Rusty Glover becoming a regular on this program. Also, you can watch him on the V now, working for our friend Bill Britt, an Alabama political reporter. And then we'll wrap it all up with my colleague at Breitbart News, Francis Martel. We'll talk about Earth Day and Earth Day, how it's being celebrated around the world, particularly in China. So make sure you stick around for that. But joining us now, I'm very pleased to bring on. I know it's a hectic time, and I'm glad he is able to find time in the day to come on this program. A House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter is on the line. Leader, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. As I said, thank you for making time for us. We always appreciate it. You're down to crunch time here. I know this probably things are going to play out over the next month or so, but you got a handful of legislative days to get a lot of folks want a lot of things done. How realistic that is going to be remains to be seen. But we were talking a little bit during the break. I imagine your office is a very busy place right now.
Yes, it has been. I mean, we come down to 5 days left in session. Everybody's got legislation that's important to them. I understand that. We're trying to listen to all the issues that's out there, and certainly we'll be looking at those going forward. And last year was kind of a anomaly because we couldn't get all our days in because of COVID. And I think a lot of people had pieces of legislation that they liked that got passed last year. So this year certainly been full. Last I've seen, we had right around 1,000 pieces of legislation. So a lot of legislation, and of course we can't. You know, I don't know how many bills will pass and go to the governor's office. I'd say probably, 300 at the most. So you're seeing about 30% of the ones that gets dropped actually makes it into law. So some people would say that's good. I mean, but anyway, it's been a hectic session. And dealing with protocol that's been set forth, and fortunately it's worked, but we're coming to the close, and everybody's excited about getting their bills out, and I understand that completely.
Well, and there's a high likelihood, there's probably almost a near certainty you guys will be back at least one time for reapportionment, but maybe a lot of the big things, I think we talked about this in the past, will have to be done in a special session called by Governor Ivey.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some things that she probably is going to call us back for, and certainly reapportionment is one of them. And like we talked about earlier, we don't have numbers back from the Census Bureau yet, so it's certainly pushing us further out. And from what I hear, it could be as late as September, October timeline. So that ain't give us much time. We need to have them done, by the first week of November. But we'll kind of see how that works out. And I know that Chairman Pringle has already been working on that, and we'll kind of see if we're curious.
The other ones, gaming is the one that I think most of the casual observer of Montgomery is probably most aware of is gambling and gaming. Do you have any sense of where your chamber is on dealing with the lottery or the comprehensive gaming package? Do you think it's we're going to see it before things wrap up?
Well, I think, the speaker's been clear that he's going to be methodical in doing this, and as the process has began, you got to realize we just got it last week, which was Wednesday, and working with the people involved, and they're trying to do the best they can, and certainly with the number of days we have, it limits us on what we are looking at, but the one thing we want to make sure it's as clean as the bill as it can be, and try to catch all the traps and make sure that the people get to vote on a piece of legislation that's been vetted very well. And we're in the process of doing that, and I think, we'll see. We'll see if we can get everything put together in time to get it to the floor. I think the speaker's intent, if everything can be cleaned up and put in order, to put it on the floor for a vote. So that's what he has told me, and if things change, I understand that, but we'll kind of see how that plays out.
I mean, do you get the sense that your membership wants, to really push forward on this, or would they have liked to maybe have more say? And because the Senate really did all the, putting the pieces and parts and things together in play, would the House like to have their their version of this, whatever it might be? Would they? Do you think your membership would be interested in that? Because, like I said, it just seems like it all kind of started in the Senate, and the House has just kind of have to go along with whatever the Senate sends their way, with maybe a few tweaks here and there.
Well, that's not the case. I mean, that's one thing that we've done, and that's one reason that we've kind of been methodical with it. When we talked to the senators and with Governor Ivey, and the thing that they told us, we can get it out now, let us get it out and send it to y'all, and then y'all do what you got to do. So this piece of legislation is going to look different. I'm just going to be straightforward. It's not going to be exactly the same. We're going to do a more methodical approach to it and try to clean it up the best we can. The thing I think that is not understood in this is, you know, we've got over 25 facilities in Alabama that's doing some type of gaming, okay? So there's got to be some strong enforcement with this. And a lot of those are by executive order that we've got to look at that's actually not the way it needs to be, and we need to regulate that. So by passing a good, clean bill, it regulates the facilities out there that's really not operating within the perimeters. And not only that, but it also gives us an opportunity to do some regulations and be more involved with the gaming that's in here with the Porch Creek Indians. So it certainly cleans it up. Gives us an enforcement, you know, by putting the gaming commission together, which we do not have today. And all the money that's going out of our state right now with all these illegal operations, we're not getting a penny off of it. So this actually would clean it up and reduce the number of facilities in the state. I think people don't understand that, because a lot of times if it's not in your area, you know, you don't see it. So that's been part of the conversation, is trying to clean up what's going on. And so it certainly is going to look different coming out of the House. I'll just be straightforward. And if we are able to get it done in a time frame to put it on the floor, you're going to see a different deal. Now, it's not, we're not scrapping everything. I mean, certainly there's certain parameters that's in there that's got to be there, but there are some things that will be changing.
You know, and your home district there, maybe either in your district or nearby your district, is one of the tentative sites for what the Senate would do, or that's where it seems all signs seem to be pointing. Well, what is the mood like about the possibility of a big time gaming facility coming to your neck of the woods?
Well, I think it's one of those things that everybody's concerned with at some extent, and some people's excited. I mean, it's a mixed bag. Some people say, we know. We're talking about bringing 2,500 jobs at average pay of $20 an hour, investing almost $1 billion with a water park and a 1,000-room hotel. I mean, some people's excited about that. I know they've had several stories in the local papers, and, you know, some people see this as an opportunity. And some people just don't like gaming, and I get that, and that's their right. But, you know, from that standpoint, you hear both sides, and I've heard both sides of it. You know, I don't know where it's going to be. I know they do it by computer generation. I think this has got a lot to do with the proximity to Tennessee and them not having it. But, you know, it looks to me like probably the closer they get to Tennessee, the more they're going to like it. And that's, you know, Jackson County's got the closer proximity, which that's still in our area. And I get that. So people still have that conversation. But, I mean, we don't know exactly the location, but, you know, there are some signs pointing to an area, certain areas, but so it's a mixed bag. And you got people that thinks it's just the economic, you know, if you had 2,500 jobs coming from a manufacturing company, it'd be tickled to death. But some people just don't like the aspect of gaming, and I understand that, and I certainly respect that.
I mean, do you think this is, we've had members of the Senate and also of your body come on, so this could be one of the most transformative pieces of legislation passed by the Alabama legislature. Do we sometimes look at this and don't realize the gravity of, you know, removing a prohibition to gaming and proliferating gambling, casino gambling in this state? Do we sometimes, you think, underplay that?
You know, I don't, that's a good question, Jeff, and I don't know that. I mean, I think from some people, they see this as an opportunity to clean it up and try to get it where that it is controlled. And because of what's going on in the state, that's just not the case. And I think some people see it like that. And others see it in the manner that you speak of, that we're changing our state forever. And Yeah, there's some truth to both of that. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, we talk about revenue, and of course, I think everybody knows that this is a tremendous amount of money to be generated for the state, millions and millions of dollars. Some would say as close to $700 million. But, I mean, the money that's being spent today at the illegal facilities and at the facilities that's in operation that we don't get anything off of, it's still going to be spent. I mean, that's still going to happen unless an executive order is removed that would take care of some of the sides. But, you know, you still got the facilities that's under federal regulations that we can't do anything with. So it's already here. It's already been changed. When the landscape was changed, when those come in here, I mean, that's happened. I mean, we can't really go back and say, well, you know, it's changing the landscape from opening up the Constitution, because the federal government's done that. It's already been opened up.
Well, do you think it seems to be where it's fallen apart in the past in the House, it's not so much the issue of should we have it or should we not, but it's more about where the revenue should go, where the money should go, and maybe that is where you guys take another look at it, and because it seems like there are people that think more of that money should be dedicated toward education. You hear a lot of talk about rural broadband. It's figuring out where the need is and where the best the body thinks the money should be spent. Is that something that you think is going to be an issue later on down the road? Whenever should the House take up this proposal?
Well, I think that's always an issue. I mean, I could tell you there's been a number of people that's been to see me that wants a piece of the legislation to support certain issues. So I think you're right. It's always an issue. But the thing I think that's important is that we certainly look at the education side of it. You know, everybody talks about if we do it, I want to put a certain portion to education. And I agree with that. I think as a body, we can come to an agreement on that. You know, there's other parts that we know has got to be done. You know, there's rural health that's got to be looked at, even in my area and all areas across the state. You know, then the broadband issue, we've got to get it out to the deserts that we have in the state that doesn't have accessibility to broadband. So we'll be working on all of that. There's a lot of missing pieces that could be put into this puzzle. And I think the opportunity for everybody to have a conversation about it. Listen, we've met with our caucus. As of today, we've met with every member of our caucus. We set up three different days so everybody would have a chance to come in. And this is what I told them at the end of the thing. I said, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. Because you can't complain about if you don't like something, you got an opportunity right now. Because we got the lawyers in the room, we got the architects of the drafts of this legislation is here. Ask them anything you want to ask them. You know, so we gave everybody in our caucus an opportunity to have their voices be heard and to hear what is in the legislation. For the most part. Now, there's some cleanup that'll be done, some changes on enabling, and they'll see that, too, next week once it's done. But I think that's one thing that I, as majority leader, was my goal, that whether they were for it or whether they were against it, we're not pushing anybody to vote one way or the other. But whether they're for it or whether they're against it, at least listen and see what all the pros and the cons are. And if you got a question, that was the time to ask. And don't be going out and giving misinformation. Get the right information so you can let your constituents and the people around you know, why you don't like it or why you do like it. So that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to be very transparent with our members and give them every opportunity in the world to see what's in it.
Joined by House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Leader, the other, I guess, issue as of late, we found out over the weekend that one of the underwriters for KIV's lease build prison proposal is not going to, they're declining to participate based on, you know, their own political reasoning. But do you see there's going to be a need for the legislature to have to step in and provide financing through a bond or something like that on prison construction? Because just given the situation right now with the DOJ and figuring out the solutions to this, that it's going to require maybe reluctantly, but or whatever, but more buy-in from the legislature on it.
Yeah, Jeff. We'll see. The governor, of course, we agree most of the time. We don't see eye to eye necessarily on the approach on this one. And I thought a bond issue at the beginning was the right way to go. And, they've studied it and they've looked at it, and I'm certainly not going to throw stones at what they have done. But we have had meetings just about this earlier before session started, and we gave all our members the ins and outs on both sides of it. So they're fully aware of what's going on, and they know where we're at, and they know where leadership in the House stands. And once the governor signed the contract, we really there was nothing we could do. We were out of the process. So if something happens in the process that she's chosen to go with does not pan out, then we certainly, I think it's our obligation to sit down and look at it and look at see what the best approach is.
But the leadership was never really on board with this in the House, this approach?
I think we had conversations about it. And, I won't say that we weren't on board. When she decided that was what she wanted to do, I'm not the one to go out and criticize our governor. You know that, Jeff. You and I had a lot of conversations.
Right.
A lot of times she and I don't agree. And when we don't agree in private. At the end of the day, she is the governor of our state and the leader of our party. And I'm not going to be critical of the decisions she makes based on what she sees. Now, we don't always agree. Sometimes we have a difference in opinion, and we voice those to each other or to her spouse, and we voice differences of opinion. But I think once the decision's been made, we can disagree. We can agree to disagree. But once a decision's been made, I think we need to pull in the same direction.
Leader, we got to leave it there. You've been very generous with your time, as you always are. But thanks for making time for us.
Anytime. Certainly appreciate that. Certainly appreciate you guys and what you do for our state. I think it helps people kind of really know the inside of what's going on. And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do that.
Well, we will do it again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.